Jordan, so near banks I stand, and cast a wishful eye.
Hi, this is Jay Webb of International Gospel Hour. For 80 years, Churches of Christ have proclaimed God's Word through International Gospel Hour. You're about to listen to another Bible-based lesson with Jody Apple on International Gospel Hour, starting now.
Thank you, Jay, and thank you for once again tuning in to Are You Listening? In just a few days, we start IGH 260. What's that? Good question. Starting on Sunday, December 30th, we will use each week's broadcast of International Gospel Hour, that six programs each week, to cover one chapter of the New Testament. During the first week, starting on that Sunday, December 30th, we will cover the first chapter of Matthew's Gospel. During the second week, one week later, we will start and continue a study of the second chapter of Matthew. That will continue week after week for 260 weeks, hence the title to this five-year-long series, IGH 260. We will, Lord willing, get to one new chapter every week, so that at the end of 2023, we will wrap up week number 260 with a study of the very last chapter in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, chapter 22. We hope that you can tune in regularly to listen to these broadcasts. For more information about IGH 260, take the time to visit our website, internationalgospelhour.com, and our Facebook page, facebook.com/internationalgospelhour. You can keep up with this series by subscribing to our newsletter at both the site, internationalgospelhour.com, and our Facebook page, facebook.com/internationalgospelhour. You will find an introductory 3-minute, 22-second video at each of those pages. Between now and then, we will continue our study of Romans chapter 5. We hope that you can join us as we study and as we are blessed by God's Word today. A reminder before we get started, our programs are always and freely available at our website, internationalgospelhour.com. If you have questions, comments, or requests, you can always reach us by giving us a call at this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988. That toll-free number is available every hour of the day and every day of the week. You can also reach us through the contact form at our website, internationalgospelhour.com, or through Facebook at facebook.com/internationalgospelhour. You can reach us by mailing us at our postal mailing address. That's International Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 118, Fayetteville, Tennessee, 37334. Immediately before we get started in today's program, let me encourage you to request either or both of these two Bible study tools. First, we offer a free 30-lesson Bible study series that not only surveys the Old and New Testament scriptures, but also provides an introduction to many biblical fundamentals. And then second, we also offer a free digital or print copy of a book entitled Victory in Jesus for your personal study. There are 13 lessons in both the print and digital versions, and each version includes a question and answer study guide. If you would like to request the 30-lesson series and or the print version of the book, Victory in Jesus, again, just call us at that toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, or send us a message using the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com. Simply leave your name and mailing address, and we will send either the courses or the book or both to you right away. If you would like to receive a free digital copy of the book, Victory in Jesus, send an email to this address, free@ighradio.com. Once again, that's the word free at ighradio.com. An automated reply will direct you to the digital download. Let's get into God's Word. In today's and tomorrow's broadcasts, we take a closer look at Romans 5:19. That verse reads, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." The word "for" usually indicates a reason, as in "for this reason," "for this purpose." Bauer notes that it was used to express cause, clarification, or inference. The word "for" assumes that we have already understood the preceding material, specifically so that it leads to a conclusion, the statement or the truth about to be made in this context. Next, we note the word "by." It means through or because of, by means of. Bauer notes that the fundamental idea that finds expression in this preposition is separation. We note the words "one man," referencing here, of course, the first man, Adam. There are, as we have seen in our prior studies together, two references to one man in this text. The first one man, Adam, was tied to disobedience. The consequence of the first one man's actions, or disobedience, was to make many sinners. The second one man reference, here man with a capital M in some, if not most, translations, was tied to obedience. The consequence of the second one man's actions, or obedience, led to many becoming righteous. Though this specific verse does not identify either one man with a lowercase m or one man with an uppercase m, the connection to disobedience and sin on the first part tell us that it was Adam, which of course means that the obedience and righteous connection of the second confirms Christ's identity. The overall context, as we have seen, repeatedly supports these respective identities. We note one man's disobedience. That refers to Adam's first sin in the Garden of Eden. Adam, even before he ate of the forbidden tree, demonstrated, according to this and other biblical texts, an unwillingness to hear and to heed God's word. This failure to hear and to follow indicates that even before Adam actually ate from the forbidden tree, he already sinned. Adam's prior, is really first sin, if that's the best way to describe it, was attitudinal. He appeared, for whatever reason, unwilling to listen to God's will and God's word. Concerning the sin of Adam, it appears that we could, with just a little effort, discern three interconnected aspects of Adam's sin. The third, or last sin, actually eating the food, the fruit from the forbidden tree. When thinking about Adam's fall, we usually think only about this sin, the one where Eve and then Adam actually ate from the tree that God prohibited. The second or next to last sin on Adam's part, failing to keep Eve from considering sin, here eating from the forbidden tree, and then finally doing so. Without going into the details of Genesis 3, and yes, there's no joke intended here, the devil's in the details. We do not know the precise chronology, that is, the sequence of events that led to Eve's sin. Why did the serpent approach Eve? Where was Adam at the time? Was he with Eve, or was she alone? If Adam was with Eve, what did he do, what did he say, to counter the challenges that the serpent presented? If Adam was not with Eve, did he have an opportunity after the fact to counter the serpent's challenges? Do we? Can we know the answers to these questions, not just from Genesis 3? We do know from 1 Timothy chapter 2 that these chronological facts are true. Adam was formed first, then Eve. That's 1 Timothy 2:13. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. 1 Timothy 2:14. The order then, using both Genesis 3 and 1 Timothy 2, was this. First, Eve was tempted. Second, Eve was deceived. Third, Eve ate from the forbidden tree. Fourth, Adam then, apparently after Eve, ate from the forbidden tree, but he was not deceived in doing so. Not knowing the specific details, the exact order, Where Adam was, what Adam thought, said, or did, makes us wonder, at least curious, about whether or not any attempt was made on Adam's part to prevent Eve's action, to prevent Eve's sin. It has often been suggested in sermons and in articles and so forth that Adam's first sin was not preventing Eve's sin. That appears to be a bit conjectural, though still possible. And then finally, consider this as Adam's first sin, the attitudinal sin involved in the idea of disobedience as we find it stated in Romans 5:19. Whether or not Adam had the opportunity and acted on it to prevent Eve's actions, while interesting, does not prevent us from identifying another sin on Adam's part. Based on what we have already seen, Adam's disobedience, his unwillingness to listen to God's will and God's word, must be understood as preceding, that is, coming before, his actual, physical, literal eating from the prohibited tree. In this regard, consider the development of sin as described in James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. We cannot claim to be tempted by God, first, because God cannot be tempted, and second, because God never tempts anyone. We are tempted when we are drawn away by our own desires and enticed. Note this, even though we might not have acted or sinned yet, there exists a pre-sin process that leads in that direction. You do not just sin. You contemplate it. You consider it. You think about it beforehand. You weigh whether or not you want to do it. What benefits does it have? How will it make you feel? And then, having made the decision, you follow through. And in the end, you sin. We are, in James' words, tempted, drawn away or lured by our own desires and enticed. This tempted, drawn away, desires enticed process finishes in a conception and then a birth of sin. And then sin, once born, comes to life. And in life, sin grows and leads to death. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of God's Word. A reminder as we close, if you would like to receive our free 30-lesson series, Studies in the Bible, give us a call at 1-855-IGH-6988 to request them.
God be with you till we meet again.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope, first, that it glorified God. But second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in this series by going to the Media tab at our site, internationalgospelhour.com.